Scientists have noted changes in freshwater storage, and some of those changes are due to human activity. Using satellites, they found some areas are getting wetter and some are getting drier. The research has been going on for more than a decade and has identified 34 hotspots of water change across the globe. Jay Famiglietti is one of those researchers. He's the senior water scientist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, and he joins me via Skype. And Jay, in terms of those areas that are getting wetter and those getting drier, what kinds of trends did you notice?
Well, there's a real structure to the map that we published. We noticed that in the high latitudes across all of the continents and in the tropics, those areas are getting wetter. And in the mid-latitudes in between, those areas are getting drier, which is something that's predicted by climate models, but predicted for the end of the 21st century. And we're starting to see it now, which is a great cause for concern. And embedded in that picture are the hotspots that we analyzed more deeply for water insecurity. Some are getting too much, some are getting too little.
And am I right that in this part of the world, in the Southwest, in Southern California, those areas are seeing less water, not getting too much?
That's right. In fact, all across the southern United States, the U.S. is actually divided, according to these data, by a line that stretches from west to east, and the upper half of the country is getting wetter, and the lower half is getting drier.
Now, one of the things that we hear about a lot in Arizona, and maybe folks elsewhere hear it as well, is that, yes, we are in a drought. Yes, we're not getting the kind of rainfall and snowpack that we would like to be getting and should be getting. But things maybe aren't as dire as they would appear because we've done a good job of storing water and banking water. It would seem as though this data that you've compiled would suggest that maybe there might be more cause for concern than some of those water officials are letting on.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I think that messaging can sometimes get confused. And the reason that we hear some metropolitan regions say that, and Phoenix is included in that, is that there's not a lot of agricultural productivity in those regions. And I think that cities are actually sustainable with current supplies and certainly with conservation and recycling and other measures, whatever might be appropriate in a particular region. But when you factor in the need to grow food and the disappearance of groundwater in the world's major aquifers, it is a completely different picture.
How do you think this data fits in with what we've heard recently from the Bureau of Reclamation about putting a better than average chance that in 2020 there will be cutbacks on the Colorado River? It seems as though those kind of mesh together fairly well.
Yes, absolutely. I think the Bureau of Reclamation's reports have been, going back to the first one I read in detail was, I think, at the end of 2012. I think they've been eyes wide open with respect to climate change. And although they recognize the importance of groundwater, they don't really include it in their reports. When you include the disappearance of groundwater, especially from the lower basin, then it's a real serious problem. So yeah, I expect that there will be issues in the very, very near term.
You mentioned sort of the disparity between urban areas and more agricultural areas. I'm wondering if there's room for both, given the data that you found. I mean, it would seem as though, given the amount of water that you find that agriculture uses, despite a lot of technology and a lot of thought among those in the agricultural field to use less water, it seems as though that area is still using a lot more than some of the urban areas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of room for improvement in agriculture. And I think the agricultural community and the agricultural industry is completely on board. Of course, you know, we as the rest of the non-ag world is fully supportive because we love to eat. So it's to our mutual benefits to work together. But there's a bigger picture that I think comes out of that study. And we do see this very well-defined geography of where the water is and where the water is not. And so it may be a reality that, you know, agriculture may need to move to where the water is, or we may need to be moving more water to where the agriculture is, or, you know, something in between. But we have plenty of water. It's just not where people live, and it's not where we're growing food. And so therein lies the problem. That is a problem that we need to address now.
Is that something people are thinking about? Because if, as you say, there are parts of the country that are getting too much water and parts that are not getting enough, Is there a way to sort of level that out somehow and get water from places that have too much to places like Arizona, Southern California, that could really use some?
So this is a very important question. And the once we start talking about moving water around, different regions get very upset. And so that's where we really need national scale leadership. I think when you zoom in on the U.S. part of that paper that we just published, and you look at that U.S. map, you see very clearly that it is a national problem, because we're trying to grow food, say, in California or in the southern high plains in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas for the nation, but only using water from those regions. And it's and we're basically tapping out the supplies. So this is a conversation that's going to have to go, if not national, super regional. And to answer your question, I don't know who is really talking that much about it.
You mentioned that there is plenty of room for more conservation in the ag field. Is it safe to say there's also more room for additional conservation in urban areas, suburban areas as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think that we're all in this together. And so we should all, whether we are thinking about energy production or thinking about economic growth or thinking about water for drinking, water for households, or water for growing food, we all need to use as little as possible.
All right. That's Jay Famiglietti, a senior water scientist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory at the California Institute of Technology. Jay, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.